Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 10. The text this morning is made up of verses 46 through 52, the last section of the chapter that deals with Jesus' miracle of healing the blindness of Bartimaeus the beggar. Let's begin reading the chapter at verse 35. The Word of God at Mark 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And now beginning with verse 46, the text for this morning. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There ends our reading of the Word of God this morning. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his holy word. The miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus is recorded in all of the synoptic gospel accounts. Matthew and Luke, along with the account in Mark, from which we have read this morning. There are two discrepancies in the narratives. First, whereas Mark and Luke speak of only one blind man, And the fact that this one blind man was named Bartimaeus in the account in Mark, Matthew states that there were two blind men. Luke 18, verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And then Mark also speaks of the one blind man in verse 46, blind Bartimaeus. But in distinction from Mark and Luke, Matthew speaks of two blind men. Matthew 20, verse 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." The second discrepancy between the accounts is that whereas Matthew and Mark speak of Jesus performing this miracle as he departed from Jericho, Luke says, "And it came to pass, as he came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." Luke 18, verse 35. These discrepancies can be easily explained. With regard to the discrepancy over the number of blind beggars, whether there was the one or two blind men, the explanation is simply that, in fact, there were two blind men, but one of them was the spokesman for the two. One of them especially pressed their claim upon Jesus for healing. Both, in fact, were healed by the Lord Jesus, but because he was the foremost, the spokesman of the two, Bartimaeus alone is mentioned in Mark and in Luke. As far as the discrepancy over whether it was coming into Jericho or on departing from Jericho that Jesus performed this miracle, the explanation is that Jesus spent almost an entire day in the city of Jericho, preaching and teaching until very late in the day when he left the city. After going out of Jericho, he met almost immediately Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who had climbed up into the sycamore tree so that he could the better see Jesus while Jesus was teaching. Jesus called Zacchaeus down from the sycamore tree, saying to him, "I must abide in your house tonight." After calling Zacchaeus down from the sycamore tree, Jesus retraced his steps back into the city of Jericho in order to bring salvation to that publican's house and to spend the night with him and his family. It was on his return then to Jericho that he healed Bartimaeus and his companion, who all the while had been crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." Matthew and Mark omit altogether the story of Zacchaeus. Luke alone records the incident involving Zacchaeus. From his perspective, and for that reason, he speaks, does Luke, of Jesus performing this miracle of healing blind Bartimaeus as he went into, that is, as he went back into the city of Jericho. What comes out in the miracle is the great faith of Zacchaeus, the great faith of the two who were healed, and especially the great faith of blind Bartimaeus. And that's what Jesus says too. Verse 52 of Mark 10. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus calls particular attention to Bartimaeus' faith. The greatness of his faith, a strong faith, a saving faith, a faith that was rewarded by the Lord Jesus. I call your attention this morning to Jesus' healing of blind Bartimaeus. Let's notice, first of all, an urgent plea, the urgent plea of Bartimaeus and of his companion. Let's notice, secondly, a strong faith. And then finally, a wonderful miracle. Bartimaeus's urgent plea was, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Mercy upon me. He pleaded for mercy. Mercy, O Lord. Mercy is help that is desperately needed. Mercy is help that is looked for outside of oneself. One who makes a plea for mercy recognizes his own inability. He is unable to save himself. He cries out for mercy to the one alone whom he is convinced is able to give him the help that he needs. Mercy is help also that is undeserved. Mercy is help, not that is earned or is merited, but the one who makes a plea for mercy recognizes not only his own inability, but his own unworthiness. His plea for mercy is a recognition on his part that he does not deserve the help, the great good that he looks for from the one to whom he makes his plea for mercy. That was true of blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus's urgent plea for mercy arose, of course, out of his awful, his hopeless condition. Bartimaeus was a poor beggar. That first. He was in want, desperate want. He did not have the means for survival, even for the day. He had no eyes with which to see. And that simply meant in that day, he couldn't work. It was impossible for him to work. He was therefore desperately poor because he could not work. Neither could he provide for himself. He could not support himself. And so, in his misery and in his poverty, he was reduced to begging. A shameful, a very difficult, for many, an impossible situation. He was in want, desperate want. By the way, the fact that Bartimaeus and his companion were reduced to begging is a very sad commentary on the condition of the church of that day. According to the Old Testament law, there might not be beggars in the land. Begging was forbidden because the children of Israel were to care for their brothers and sisters who were poor and who were in want. There might not be beggars in the land because the rest of the children of Israel were to open up their hearts and their purses and to provide for the needs of the poor. There were all kinds of laws in place in the Old Testament to see to it that the poor were taken care of. The farmers, in harvesting their fields, might, rounding the corners with their animals, pulling their plows or whatever other implement it was, might not back the animal up to catch the corner. The corners of the fields must be left for the poor. And that which was spilled during the harvest, whether it was the kernels of grain in the case of Ruth and Naomi in the book of Ruth, the wheat, or whether it was the grapes or the olives that spilled on the ground while the harvest was being taken in, might not be touched, might not be picked up by the owner of the vineyard or the owner of the wheat field. That which spilled on the ground was to remain there for the poor. The poor were to be permitted to glean in all the fields and all the vineyards in order to pick up all the spillage. And then in connection with all of the sacrifices and offerings that were brought to the tabernacle and later the temple, there was always a portion, nearly always a portion for the poor. They might not allow it. One of their fellow Israelites was reduced to begging. That there were beggars in the land in Jesus' day was a sad commentary on the spiritual condition of the church of that day. That's always a barometer by which to measure the spirituality of a church, a congregation. Does that congregation care for its poor? That Bartimaeus was a beggar was due, of course, to his blindness. He was totally blind. His affliction was one of the worst possible afflictions that you could imagine. He was blind. He could not see a thing. He couldn't see the majesty of the mountains. He couldn't see the fertile plains, the fields and fields, acre upon acre of corn and soybeans ready to be harvested. He couldn't look up in the nighttime against the dark background of the sky and see the twinkling of all the stars made by God. He couldn't behold the beauty of a flower in full bloom. He was blind. Couldn't see his wife, if he had a wife. He couldn't see his children. He couldn't behold the smiling faces of his grandchildren. He was blind. Blind people live in a very small, dark, depressing, lonely world. That's the cross that they who are blind bear. One of my congregations out west, there were three blind people during the time that I pastored there. Three of them, a genetic abnormality. They had all at one time been sighted. That's something. Can you imagine never having seen? Never? What's red? What does a horse look like, children? What does a person look like? Never, ever to have seen. These people at least were sighted. So they had a memory bank that they could rely on. But nevertheless, a heavy, heavy burden. I remember trying it, I think twice, for a half a day, closing my eyes and trying to do my work in my study. It was impossible. I couldn't. But it made me appreciate just a little bit what these people experienced day in and day out. Bartimaeus, of course, is a picture of us all. He's a picture of what we are spiritually. His physical blindness was a picture of our spiritual blindness. We're poor, desperately poor. Bartimaeus was physically poor. We are spiritually poor. We have nothing, absolutely nothing. We're spiritually bankrupt. Our spiritual poverty, what adds to our spiritual poverty, what explains our spiritual poverty, is our spiritual blindness. We're spiritually blind. We cannot see God, the glory of God. We cannot see the things of God's Word and of His kingdom and of His church. We're blind. As Bartimaeus was blind. In the misery and poverty of his blindness, Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. What stands out in the account is Bartimaeus' persistence. He persisted in his plea to Jesus for the help that he needed. He cried out. And the idea of that verb in the Greek is that he kept on crying out over and over again. He cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He persisted in his cry to Jesus for mercy, even when at first Jesus appeared to be indifferent to his cries, didn't respond at first to Bartimaeus's cries, when at first it appeared as if his response was cold indifference. He did not want to be bothered by Bartimaeus. Even though Bartimaeus might have thought that, he continued to cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He persisted in crying out to Jesus, even when at length there were those in the crowd who rebuked him and tried to silence him. Verse 48, the first part. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. I don't imagine they were very nice about it. Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. Be quiet. Be still. We can't hear the master. And still he cried out all the more. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He was not offended by what appeared to be Jesus' indifference. He wasn't offended by what appeared to be the indifference of Jesus' followers to his great need. His response, verse 48, the last part, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He would not be silenced. He would not shut his mouth. He kept on crying out to Jesus. What explains Bartimaeus' persistence? The explanation, of course, is faith. Faith in Jesus. A strong, a persistent faith. Faith knows its great need, its desperate need. And faith knows that there is one and only one who can satisfy that great need, and that one is Jesus. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Faith will not be denied. Faith will not be silenced. Faith will have Jesus and the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Always the plea of faith, the persistent plea of faith is Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus' faith not only comes out in his plea to Jesus and in the persistence of his plea to Jesus, but comes out even in his address of Jesus. He speaks of Jesus as the Son of David. Jesus, thou Son of David. Thou art the Son of David. Twice this is mentioned in the account. Verse 47, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48 again, many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Son of David. That's a very significant confession. That's what Bartimaeus is doing here, really. He's making confession of the Lord Jesus. And that confession begins with the confession that Jesus is the Son of David. That's significant. That Jesus is the Son of David means that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ of God, the one sent by God to do the work of God. That Jesus is the Son of David means that he is the one in whom God's promise is fulfilled. The promise that God made and repeated and enlarged upon over and over again throughout the whole Old Testament. The promise of God is fulfilled in Jesus. That Jesus is the Son of David also implies that God's covenant is fulfilled in Jesus. That was the promise of God to King David, that God established his covenant with him, the covenant of his grace, the covenant of salvation, the covenant that would be established in the blood of the mediator of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come out of David's loins, who would be the great Son of David. That's what Bartimaeus confessed. That Jesus is the Son of David simply means that all of the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. Bartimaeus believed the Old Testament scripture. The Old Testament scriptures record the promise of God, the coming of Jesus Christ. And Bartimaeus believed those Old Testament scriptures. He believed the Old Testament scriptures to be the Word of God, the very Word of God. About that, he had absolutely no doubt whatsoever. He believed that all the scriptures were fulfilled in the person and in the work of Jesus, Son of David. Bartimaeus was a man of faith. He had no earthly possessions, nothing to his name except the clothes on his back. He had nothing. But he had the one thing that mattered. He had faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God in our flesh. Faith in the Son, the Son of David. And that faith looked for, and that faith expected, a miracle. A strong faith. A strong faith looks to Jesus for a miracle. At last, Jesus responded to Bartimaeus and indicated that Bartimaeus should be brought to him. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Significantly, all the accounts agree that Jesus asked both the blind men, what it was that they wanted from him. Bartimaeus' response in verse 51 of Mark 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man, both the blind men, said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that's significant. How he starts out his answer is very significant. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is at work in Bartimaeus. The Spirit, that's the explanation for his faith. The work of the Spirit, that's the explanation for his belief in Jesus. The saving work of the Spirit, that's the explanation for his address of Jesus. Lord, thou who art not only Son of David, but Son of God, the Lord, Lord. Significantly, he says more. Very significantly, Bartimaeus did not merely address Jesus as Lord, but my Lord. That's how you should read the last part of verse 51. The blind man said unto him, My Lord, that I might receive my sight. That's what he said. He addressed Jesus here in exactly the same way as Mary Magdalene did later after Jesus' resurrection. Do you remember that story, children? You remember Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene, who was weeping by Jesus' grave, thinking that somebody had stolen Jesus' body, not ever imagining even that he could have risen from the dead. And when Jesus finally says her name, Mary, what does she say? She says, not Rabbi, but Rabboni. That's different. Rabboni is my master, my Lord, my teacher. That's also what Bartimaeus says here. Not just Lord, Lord of me, not just master, my master. That's faith. That's a strong faith. Faith does not only know that Jesus is Lord, but faith knows that Jesus is my Lord. Lord of me, even of me, personally. That was the faith of blind Bartimaeus. Why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus what he desired of him? Wasn't it obvious? The man's blind. What he wants, of course, is his sight restored. He wants to see again. Why did Jesus ask him, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" Why did he ask him? Two things, I think. First, in order to impress upon Bartimaeus himself the greatness of his need, so that Bartimaeus himself would be impressed with the greatness of his need. That is the first reason for the question that Jesus puts to him. And the second is in order to call forth from him this glorious testimony, this public confession of his faith before all the multitude, in the hearing of them all. Jesus calls forth from Bartimaeus this glorious confession of faith. Publicly, he gives expression to his great need, his blindness. And publicly, he confesses that that need alone can be satisfied by Jesus. The sinner must know. The sinner must know thoroughly his great misery, the hopelessness of his condition as he is in himself. If he does not know his misery, neither will he seek deliverance from that misery in Jesus Christ. If he does not know the wretchedness of his condition, he will not cry out to Jesus for deliverance, for the help that he desperately needs. This is the first work of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life of the child of God. This is the very first evidence of the grace of God in one's life, that the sinner knows his sin, knows his misery, knows how great his sin and misery are. But that raises a question, doesn't it? Why did Bartimaeus want his sight restored? Why didn't he ask, let us say, for the forgiveness of his sins? Wouldn't that have revealed a stronger faith in Bartimaeus than his asking for the recovery of his sight? Didn't he need, above everything else, the forgiveness of his sins? Wasn't it rather unspiritual, even selfish of him, to make his request of Jesus to have his sight restored? He didn't ask for the forgiveness of his sins for two reasons. First, because he already enjoyed the forgiveness of his sins. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he enjoyed already the assurance that his sins were forgiven. But in the second place, he knew that if Christ would grant him the one request, well then, the other would certainly also be granted. Of course, of course. In that connection, we mustn't suppose that Bartimaeus was asking for his sight to be restored merely so that he would be able to see again. His request wasn't sight for sight's sake. It wasn't just that he could see the grandeur of the mountains, the beauty of a rising or setting sun, the face of his wife, the faces of his children or grandchildren. No, Bartimaeus wanted to see so that he could see Jesus. That was his desire, so that with his very own eyes, he could behold the one in whom he believed. He would be able to see Jesus, and seeing Jesus, the more readily be able to enjoy fellowship and communion with Jesus. That's the way it is with blindness and with blind people. Blindness robs a person of a very important dimension, fellowship and friendship. By the grace of God, they overcome that. There's no doubt about it. I remember well one of those blind people, a very aged lady, long dead and in glory, who with a smile on her face said to me once, "The Lord made me blind so that I would see some things." And she meant it. But nevertheless, blindness is an obstacle to fellowship and to friendship. Think about it. Husbands, what if you couldn't see the face of your wife? How much of your interaction with your wife, your communion with her, the friendship and fellowship that you enjoy as husband and wife doesn't involve your seeing her face? How she reacts and responds with her facial expressions, the smile that isn't only of her mouth, but the gleam of her eye, as well as the sadness, the sorrow. So much of our fellowship together involves our looking each other in the face. These masks, they're an obstacle, aren't they, to friendship and fellowship? Not insurmountable, by no means, but a barrier to normal friendship and fellowship. And that's how the glory of heaven is described to us too, isn't it? Seeing God in Jesus Christ, face to face, seeing the saints who have gone before and departed, our own loved ones, or the saints that have preceded us, a Martin Luther, an Apostle Paul, seeing them and enjoying perfect fellowship. Well, that's the way it was with Bartimaeus. He desired sight so that he could see Jesus. In response to his request, Jesus healed Bartimaeus. Mark tells us that Jesus healed Bartimaeus simply by speaking the word. Verse 52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight the word of Jesus, his speaking the word that healed Bartimaeus and restored his sight to him. The account in Matthew is a bit fuller. We read in Matthew 20, verse 34, "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Still today, it's by means of his word. Not his word spoken, but his word recorded in Scripture. That is the means by which we sinners are delivered from our misery, delivered from our blindness, so that our sight is restored. The Word of God that is grounded in the cross and blood of Jesus. You see, we don't deserve to see. We don't deserve fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ, because we're the friends of Satan. We despised the fellowship and friendship of God in the beginning and chose rather friendship with the devil. That's what we are by nature, friends of the devil, friends of this world. That's our misery, our death, our spiritual blindness, that we receive our sight again. That we have the right again to see God, to see the truth of God in Scripture, to see His Son, Jesus Christ, beholding Him as our Lord and as our Savior that's grounded in the cross of Jesus Christ. He earned for us there the right to see again, the right to the friendship and the fellowship of God. All of the accounts make mention of the fact that having received his sight, Bartimaeus and his companion followed after Jesus, glorifying God. That's the last part of verse 52, the very end of the narrative, and followed Jesus in the way. That, too, was the evidence of Bartimaeus' strong faith. His sight restored. He fixed his eyes on Jesus and followed him in the way. Followed him as his disciple. Followed him in obedience to his word and to his will. And that for all time is the evidence of those who believe in Jesus, whose spiritual sight has been restored. They follow after him in the way, keeping his commandments, testifying to everybody around them concerning Jesus, Son of David, Son of God. This is the abiding significance of this wonderful miracle. We're taught here for all time what the marks of true faith are, saving faith. We're taught here that what makes true faith, how we may know the genuineness of our own faith, is that faith knows, first of all, its great need. It's desperate need. Faith looks to Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ alone for the satisfaction of that need. That's the second great mark, that we know our need and that we look to the one alone who can satisfy that need. And then faith confesses Jesus Christ and follows after Jesus Christ. This is faith, true faith, saving faith, faith that delights in Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. What comes out of the narrative is that the plea of faith, "Have mercy upon me, thou son of David," that plea is always heard by Jesus. Never does he turn a deaf ear to that plea. How could he, when he himself has called forth that plea from us? He heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus. He granted his request. And Bartimaeus received from Jesus Christ all the help that he needed, all the deliverance that he looked for, the mercy that he sought, he received. So do we. So does every sinner receive the help, the salvation, the mercy from Christ, who seek that salvation and that mercy from Jesus Christ. That's his promise. That's his promise as it is underscored in this great miracle. His promise is sure. We have from Christ the salvation that we need. We have it in the preaching of the gospel that proclaims our misery and need and proclaims Jesus Christ, the Savior, Son of God, who satisfies that need. And one day, we will have it perfectly in everlasting life and in glory. And that day, we will see him. We will behold him with eyes made perfect. We will see him upon whom now we believe. And seeing him, we will enjoy his fellowship forevermore. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the miraculous salvation that we enjoy, that we have been delivered from our blindness, our misery, our death, and given eyes to see, to behold out of thy word wonderful things, to see thee and to enjoy thy fellowship forevermore. Bless thy word as we've heard it this morning. Dismiss us with thy blessing. For Christ's sake alone, amen.